You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Imagine waking up to a world that's as clear as your dreams. With Zeiss Smile technology, this is your reality. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, our mission is your vision. Conducted by a team of expert surgeons leveraging leading-edge technology, our procedure is safeguarded, swift, and tailored to your eye care needs. Say goodbye to the limits of glasses or contacts. Embrace a world where your vision can keep pace with your life's aspirations. Contact us today at 800-309-2020 or visit us online at ficta.com. At Fichte Endel and Elmer Eye Care, we are focused on you.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I put in extra work that just can't be found. Work. I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing. Look me in my eyes cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
God made me punch in accurate numbers.
Yeah.
My castle won't crumble.
Nah.
What I tackle will fumble.
Yeah.
I've been a leader when they ain't see it, but now my feet
is up.
According to me, royalty didn't end with King Tut.
Nah.
Crown on my head, clouds is at my legs.
Yeah.
Big says sky is the limit. I look down on the ledge.
The
I push the bar like I'm opening a cell. Hands in my cookie jar, you won't come out with a single nail.
You
I
come.
Need all of mine. The weight of my shoulders won't fit on a scale. What's a king to a giant?
What?
Well, Goliath fell. Even if we playing chess, dog, this king can't be checked. I make all my moves on the board, I invented my steps.
Uh-huh.
I'm a king, the blood of a ruler, I feel like Mansa Musa.
Mansa Musa.
Make your squad disappear like landing by the Bermuda.
Gone.
Triangle, look at it from my angle. I'm a king, the closest thing to being one of God's angels.
Yeah. I'm a king.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Crown.
I put in extra work that just can't be found.
Work.
I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing.
Dead.
Look me in my eyes cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes cause I'm a
king.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast, and I am your host, Jay Spencer King. And I'm a little surprised, a little annoyed, happy, a bunch of different emotions. I just finished the Code of Conduct and loaded it up, and y'all was gonna listen to a completely different episode. And my special guest of the show texted me, is like, "Oh crap, man! We recorded too early." Ken Dorsey, former offensive coordinator to the Buffalo Bills, has been let go. He's been released, and now Joe Brady will be taking over as the offensive coordinator on the interim basis. So I guess we got to do this all over again, Twan, but we could start there. Welcome to the show. I have Antoine Staley of New York Daily News joining me here. He's the beat reporter for the New York Jets. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Jets game. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we saw last night, but maybe not. Maybe we're going to talk about Ken Dorsey. First, welcome back to the show again. I guess we got to do this all over again.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, the news cycle just don't stop, man. Like, as soon as we start recording, oh, yeah, we get this news. Like, oh, well, pretty much what we recorded is no good, so.
literally, when I tell y'all we just got off of this 15 minutes ago, and the complete show, like, everything about the show was no longer, it's just no longer relevant.
Stored
like,
away.
Some of the stuff is, but.
Yeah, some of it, yeah. But
yeah.
When we're talking about the offensive coordinator and some of the play calling and all that, yeah, just. Go ahead, throw that away.
Well, but, so yeah. Let's get right to it. So last night, the Buffalo Bills embarrassingly lost to the Denver Broncos. 4 turnovers. The offense just didn't seem to click. Couldn't score in the first quarter. We scored throughout the game. We had 3 touchdowns overall, but still just didn't seem ever to click. Over the course of the previous 4 games prior to that, the Buffalo Bills have struggled to score in the first 3 quarters of the game. Their offensive efficiency has been down. Josh Allen leads the league in turnovers. There's so many things that we can point to as to why this is happening.
you have the floor. Yeah, I'll leave it like that.
I think it's time. I mean, they needed some kind of a change up there. Clearly, what was happening wasn't, you know, working with Ken Dorsey there. I mean, I thought it was good to an extent a little bit last year, but you can kind of just see, like, when you have a dynamic play call, and we talked about this, like, when we first recorded, you have to use him as such. Like, you have you're afforded a certain, you know, again, you have a guy with a unique skill set. Why not take advantage of that? Like, why not take advantage of using his legs, too? Again, you're not asking him to, like, to jump over defenders all the time, but use his legs, get him out in space, too. And also, you know, use his legs to open up the passing game, too, because, you know, when you have somebody that can extend plays as much as Josh Allen does, like, that helps everybody in the entire offense there. I just feel like Ken Dorsey was calling plays, and, like I say, you would know more than I would. Like, he's like Josh Allen is some pocket passer, but he's not. He's not a pocket passer. He is a guy that, like I say, he can run you over, he can run by you, and also he has a dynamic arm. His arm is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. So, again, like, I just feel like they needed a bit of a change up. Now they have Joe Brady, who I'm a little bit familiar with when he was the OC of the Panthers there. Of course, he ended up getting fired. Was a bit of a scapegoat there for Matt Rhule. Obviously, Matt Rhule did not work out in Carolina at all, but I don't think it was necessarily Joe Brady's fault. But, you know, and also you have to look at the quarterback situation of Carolina at the time when you had Teddy Bridgewater and, you know, some of the other guys that were in there. Now let's see what Joe Brady can do. He was once heralded as a, you know, offensive guru, especially during his time with at LSU when he was the OC of Joe Burrow. So now, like, he has another dynamic quarterback in Josh Allen, and I'm curious to see how he'll use him and also Stephon Diggs.
Well, see, you just mentioned Brady being a scapegoat previously. In a way, now I just mentioned all of the stuff that's going wrong with the offense, but I kind of feel like Ken Dorsey is a scapegoat here too, because as much as I want to blame the offense, I think a lot of this, man, I think a lot of people should be losing their jobs this morning or this afternoon when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. And to be honest, I don't know if the conversation needs to start with Sean McDermott, but that's an area that I do think the conversation, when you're talking about ownership, if I'm Terry and Kim Pegula, I'm having the conversation. Last week on Code of Conduct, I did, the show was called Steve Kerr. And it basically was just asking the question, like, look, is Sean McDermott the type of guy that's the architect that can get the right pieces in? And, you know, you draft Josh Allen, you draft Matt Milano, Trey White, and all of these guys that are key pieces to the reason why your team has turned around. But can he get us over the hump? Like, can we actually win a championship with Sean McDermott? Now here, when it comes to Ken Dorsey, it sucks, because in one way, I know why everybody was so excited for him to get hired. They handpicked him. Josh Allen loved him. Like, so it was one of those things where Josh Allen basically said, I want this guy to be my offensive coordinator when Brian Daboll leaves. He got it. But the part for me that was upsetting about that was when you have a quarterback in the stage of career that Josh is at, and you got Diggs, and the defense was where it was, I don't think you waste that portion of his career with a rookie play caller. So I think just all of this, you know, you got 15 different things that play into this. I'm shocked, but at the same time, I think it is something that is some shakeup is needed. So now going forward, for your perspective, I know what you just said you want to see happen. What are the, if you're Joe Brady now coming in, forget what we know about Joe Brady from the Panthers, but for you, it's like, okay, this is what he got fired for, bro. So these are the things you absolutely have to do. What, going into the Jets game, I know it's a quick turnaround, kind of thinking about installing any changes on offense, but going into this game, if you're talking to Joe Brady, you're his advisor, bro, this is why Ken got fired. This is what you need to do. What are we doing next week?
Yeah, just adding wrinkles. Like, obviously, you're not changing the whole, like, system. Like, you're going to keep the same system, but just add some wrinkles in there. Do some things that's going to get, you know, the Jets thinking. Like, you know, especially considering what he did at LSU and obviously with the Panthers. Like, I mean, this isn't ideal for the Jets either, because now you're scrambling, because now you know the Bills, you know their tendencies, but you don't necessarily know Joe Brady. So now you have to go, you're watching extra film, you're watching LSU, you know, old games with Joe Burrow and, you know, Jamar Chase. You're also watching, you know, what he did with the Panthers too, and just kind of like how he, you know, attacked defenses there. For me, like, running the football, I think it's definitely needs to be an emphasis you know, for the Bills there. The Jets have one of the rushing defenses in the National Football League. You know, take advantage of that. You know, we saw it last week against the Raiders that they haven't been able to stop the run, and it's been a lot of missed tackles there. Josh Jacobs was able to run wild as well. I know Austin Eckler had, you know, he didn't have a big rushing game there, but he was able to, you know, help set some tackles too as well. Saquon Barkley the week before that against the Giants. Yeah, the Bills don't necessarily have a running back like on the caliber of Josh Jacobs or Saquon Barkley, but I definitely think running the football, whether it be with Josh or also the variety of running backs that they have, you know, you got to be able to take advantage of that. And then I think in turn, that will open up the passing game for Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, you know, Dalton Kincaid, and the rest of the receivers there. So, yeah, that's my thinking there, going in, you know, attacking one that wants to run the ball, whether it be with Josh or also some of the other guys as well.
Yeah, no, and it's crazy. The show that we recorded, we talked a lot about that. Like, we talked about Ken Dorsey needing to focus on those things and to change things up because the Jets run defense wasn't this. And so utilize Josh Allen and utilize, you know, James Cook. And then last night we saw James Cook. I know he fumbled. There's no excuse for turning the ball over. I'm I'm one of the loudest when it comes to saying there's no excuses. But he also looked like the best player on offense last night. James Cook had a day. I'm kind of surprised. So I don't even know kind of where to take this conversation, because it's all, you know, it's like I've been saying that he should have been let go. It's just a shock. I don't know how to react right now. So yeah, I guess where I go with it.
It's fresh. I'm sorry. It's fresh. So it's kind of, you're getting that instant reaction. But yeah, I think I'm not surprised by it, especially considering, you know, what transpired last night. But I think you kind of alluded to it too as well. Ken Dorsey isn't the source of all their issues, but he was a source of some of their issues, especially offensively. So, you know, now that you made this move, you got to get it together. Like, you got, you know, some games left there. You got to try to make this playoff run there. Clearly, you thought he was an issue of the team, because if you didn't, he wouldn't have fired him. So now the Bills need to make a run there and try to find a way to make the playoffs. But, yeah, I don't think he's the total issue. I think it's bigger than that, too. I think also some of the blame goes to Sean McDermott, too, as well, and some of the decisions that he's made, including, you know, coaching, having, you know, 12 men on the field last night. That's the blunder you cannot have in a game like that, which, by the way, that kind of lets Sean Payton off the hook, because I thought they probably should just get the field goal on third down instead of, you know, the chaos that ensued after that.
That's insane.
That made no sense. I was like, why just not kick the field goal on third down? Like, but I know you don't know want to get the ball back, but still.
Well, what you're saying about Sean McDermott, so again, the show that we recorded already that nobody's going to hear, you actually also made a good point on how the locker room actually just isn't responding the same way. And now Sean McDermott, the things that we've learned about him in the past that made him a great coach, this season, I'm not feeling it. I think all the beat reporters that cover him on a day-to-day basis in Buffalo don't seem to get the connection. Last night was the first time in a long time that Bills players have straight up declined media availability, like declined it. And I think when that starts to happen, I know a lot of people are looking at it. You know, you have a portion of the fan base that looks at it like, well, you know, they just lost the game. But I also look at it as a culture thing. And I think that starts to show you when the culture is starting to shift, when the players don't speak the same language as their coach, or they don't, you know, it's almost like the whole team has a certain identity that you're used to seeing. And now it's not that coming out of one Bills drive.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Like I said, it was on the last show. I thought that was a great part. I want to get on here too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Jets are kind of dealing with it too, whereas like you come out the emotional game too. And then, you know, you don't want to say anything to either one, you're upset in the moment and you just don't want to talk, or two, you don't want to say anything that could be construed the wrong way. So I think that's kind of why you see teams like, you know, the Jets or the Bills decline to talk after the game, because you're so like, you don't want to alienate anybody, whether it be, you know, the offensive coordinator and Ken Dorsey, or, you know, Nathaniel Hackett or anything like that. And yeah, I think this speaks to a larger point where, you know, the culture, and I think players are having a question about where they are, you know, at the time. So yeah, I think, you know, when you start to see those things happening, you know, your season can go one way or the other. You know, I think with the Jets, when they lost to the Raiders, they're like, we just got to figure it out. Like, we kept asking them the last few weeks that, why do you think the offense is suffering? Why you can't convert third down? Why can't you score a touchdown? The Jets haven't scored a touchdown in nearly three games, 11 quarters. They don't have an answer for that. And then they probably do, but they don't want, again, you don't want to say something that, you know, becomes headline news, especially, you know, in this particular market. But yeah, I think it goes back to what you said. It's like a larger point as far as the culture and, you know, where the players feel like it might be at the time.
And it's disappointing, like, as a Bills fan, because one of the things that we've been able to brag about as Bills fans is, like, the culture. And it's like, okay, now we've seen Sean McDermott come in and change it from what we were to playoff caliber. And now they've been preaching championship caliber and all this stuff. And you could feel it. And even the players that come into Buffalo, they always preach to other players, come to Buffalo and be the best version of yourselves. We love it here. It's perfect. And then now you start to see the unraveling of, like, I'm hesitant to use this word, but the way I'm using it, you'll get it. But, you know, you start to see the death of a dynasty. Now, I'm not saying dynasty in the sense, anybody listening, the Bills are not a dynasty.
I know what you're saying.
But Antoine, he gets what I'm saying when I say that, where it's like, you know, you start to see Rockefeller break up, or you start to see, like, and this is when, for me, it gets concerning. And it's like that first step is always letting go of one of the coaches, a scapegoat. And this morning, Ken Dorsey was that scapegoat. Now, I think he should have been let go. Now, let's flip, because obviously the reason why I had you on the show is to talk about next week's game. So with this being the case now the Jets don't quite, I don't think there can be too many changes in a one-week period when you change offensive coordinators, but there still can be some things coming into this game, some wrinkles that now you really can't anticipate, because now it's Joe Brady calling the shots versus Ken Dorsey. So if you're the defensive coordinator or the defensive staff for the Jets, how are you looking at approaching this game?
Like, very nervously, probably watching, like I said, going back, watching old film of just trying to figure out what his tendencies are, because, I mean, obviously, you know about the Bills, and like you said, you're not going to change the whole system, like, or anything like that within this whole week. But, you know, it's going to be tendencies that, you know, Joe Brady likes to do that Ken Dorsey didn't, and then vice versa too. So you're very nervous going into this week, because it kind of reminds you, it's a very similar situation last week too. Remember, the Raiders had a coaching change with, you know, Antonio Pierce there coming to be the interim head coach and end up firing the offensive coordinator too. And then I think we saw it on Sunday that, yeah, they had the same system, but they also had some wrinkles there with some trick plays, and, you know, they became more of a physical football team more than what they were under the previous regime with Josh McDaniels. So I definitely think you're going to see, you know, a lot more running the football with Brady too. And then kind of, I think if I'm Jeff Albrick or the Jets defensive coordinator, that's my anticipation, that they're probably going to try to attack our weakness. And their weakness is, you know, stop the inability to stop the run too, because, you know, as much as we talked about Josh Allen and the turnovers and things like that, they definitely need to start running the football a little bit more. Stop, you know, you don't need to, you know, continue to throw the ball. Like, I don't know how many pass attempts he had last night, but, you know, I definitely think they need to have more of an emphasis on running the football. And I think it starts this week and reminding people who the heck we are, you know, if you're the Bills, like, and what we, and the skill set that they can bring. Because for me, like, remember the Dolphins game, like, I think everybody, like, I think that was the Bills' chance to put everybody on notice, like, yeah, the Dolphins may be looking good, but guess what? The division runs through us. Like, and that's what I feel like the statement that they made against the Dolphins. And then ever since then, it's kind of been slowly, like, declining, and you kind of seen these, you know, cracks in the armor ever since then. But when they have those moments like that, then, yeah, they remind people, everybody in the division, that, yeah, we're still, the Dolphins may be looking good and have this dynamic offense, but we're still the big dog in the yard.
Well, and that's what you miss, too. Like, you miss, you know, the dominance of saying, like, look, we're the team, okay? Like, I get it. Your team, your game ahead, it still runs through us. We the big boys. It's almost like what the Bengals try to say in the playoffs. Like, and they said it because they beat the Bills. Like, look, all this talk about it, it runs through us. We was the team in the championship. And now it's gone. Gone, man. And you would think that this game is important to both teams. If either of these, well, whichever team loses, you would think that, okay, the playoffs are pretty much a distant dream at this point. Like, whether you're the Bills or the Jets. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, definitely. It's for the Jets too. And like brought this up. So they have the Bills, like they travel to Buffalo, play the Bills, and then they got the Dolphins on the short week on Black Friday. So they clearly, and then the Bills schedule is daunting too. If you look at, you know, how they, that's why I say it was important for them to make some kind of move, because they got some tough games, you know, come up too. So it is critical. This is make or break for both teams. Like this is, I cannot stress that enough. Like a win, you're still obviously still in the mix. It doesn't guarantee anything as far as making the playoffs, but losing in the AFC, like you, I think it's going to take 10 wins to make the playoffs. I really do. You got to win 10. If you don't, you win 9, then I think you're going to be on the outside looking in. Obviously anything below that, then you know, you got no chance whatsoever.
Again, everybody listening to this, it's really, Antoine said it. It's one of those things. You have a live reaction from me because we literally jumped off the show and then I went to load this up and then he texted me. So I didn't even see the notification. He texted me and I had to go and look. And so it's like the questions that I've asked him, like the show was so structured and everything sounded so great. And now I just feel like I'm all over the place because I'm completely thrown off by this.
Yeah, I think we all were kind of flabbergasted because, you know, it just, the way it happened, it was just like, oh, that's why I was like, oh, okay, let me tell you. I was like, wow.
Well, and then to me, it's like, it's also, initially I titled the show Enough Blame to Go Around. So like before I talked to you, I had a segment on the show where I talked about how it's Dorsey's fault, but it's Josh Allen's fault. You can't throw the interceptions that he's throwing. I know we want to put two fumbles on Cook. I think the handoff was a bad handoff. I put that on Josh.
Correct.
Cook can't fumble. He can't fumble the ball. You fumbled on the first drive, and then you almost had a bad fumble that turned into a big play. A
tremendous play.
So on one hand, it's like, okay, execution-wise, can we really say it's Ken Dorsey? Because I've seen a lot of plays where Josh Allen just missed wide-open players. I've seen plays where the play design was drawn up and it worked and Josh Allen just didn't do it. Or I've seen running backs run into the back of an offensive lineman when the hole was right there to the left of him and they just chose not to take it. Execution does come, it does fall on the offensive coordinator.
Correct.
But, you know, I just look at it to say, and then I just got a tag on Twitter. Shout out to Joe Miller. He wanted to know, so if there wasn't 12 men on the defense last night on that last play, would Ken Dorsey be fired right now? If they missed that field goal and Ken, so again, that lets you know to me that it's a scapegoat move.
Yes. Yes.
It's absolutely a scapegoat move. Cause I've been calling for Ken Dorsey to be let go for weeks now, but it happens after a bad special teams play or it happens. Now I can't, it was reactionary. On defense.
It's very reactionary. Like it's reactionary. It's not like proactive. It's very like you're just making a move just to, because they appease the fan base and always make it seem like you're doing something, you know, to improve the team. But in the meanwhile, like as you alluded to, I don't think it would have happened. I think it would have happened in the offseason. I think they would have done it then, either way, but I don't think they would have happened like today at day one A.
It's just been terrible, man. And but one thing that we did talk about that, again, I thought was good, so I want to bring it back up here. When you're looking at, God, this morning is crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, this lead, man. Like,
wow. Okay, but when you're looking at Sean McDermott as the coach, and you're looking at the culture of this team, and we're talking about how, you know, it wasn't because of Josh Allen. We made the playoffs in year one with Sean McDermott, and he, you know, everybody thought we were tanking. We made the playoffs.
He's with Tyrod Taylor.
With Tyrod. Like, but now to fast forward and for it to feel like he's lost the locker room in a way and for the culture to be shifting, do you feel like at this point the writing is kind of on the wall there too? Like, I know we kind of just talked about blame going all around, but like, I think you mentioned something earlier about like how his focus on being a defensive coordinator.
Yes.
Like that's the part I guess I really wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Is he doing a good job as a head coach overall?
No, I don't think so. Like it's hard to be CEO when also you're trying to dip your hand in being a defensive coordinator as well. I think the Leslie Frazier, him leaving was really bad. Like I don't think people really talked about that enough. Like, I just thought it was a weird situation. And then obviously he's taking over play call. We know Sean can do it. Like, can be a great, he's a great defensive mind, but I think as a head coach, I think at any level, really, I think you need to be a CEO. You need to be able to oversee all the aspects of your team. Like, I've seen it with so many other coaches. I saw it with Adam Gase. I saw it with, you know, other guys that's been in the league where, you know, their focus has been, you know, on one side of the ball, despite them being a head coach. And typically that doesn't work at all. Like, you need to have your dip your hand in all toe. And like we talked about special teams too. Special teams hadn't been good for the Bills either. Like, whether you talk about last night, whether you talk about week one, when, you know, the Jets ended up scoring on a 65-yard punt return touchdown there, that factors in too. I mean, those are two games, like, you win those two games, look at where you are in the standings. You would be in the playoffs right now. So, again, like, the margin for error with plays like that is very, very minimal. And you got to be able to take advantage of it. And you got to be able to make sure every single special teams, offense, defense, is on their P's and Q's. Because otherwise, it's not – I mean, you're going to have games like you did last night or like week one or, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think he needs to go back to being more the CEO, Sean McDermott, as opposed to CEO/ defensive coordinator. And because clearly I don't think that's necessarily working. We know their defense has been really good. And, yeah, I think you also talked about Jones not being there. It's really been a detriment. It really hurt their defense, which I agree with. Obviously, Milano also hurts in some of the other injuries. But, you know, I feel like they've been able to ride the ship. And I feel like their defense played well enough to win that game last night. And they played well enough to win week one, too, in a game, two games that they probably should have won.
Yeah, especially, like, you look at that game and you talk about, like yeah, okay, and I've said it from the jump. Look, you can't excuse the 12 men on the field. You just can't excuse that. But when you turn the ball over in their territory twice, so you start them off in position to score. Now, the first drive of the game, we only gave them 3 points. But the defense stopped them on a short field that the offense turned the ball over. And so when you just look at the turnovers and you look at the amount of turnovers, you can't lose the turnover battle. You can't lose the time of possession battle. It was 37 minutes to 23 minutes for the Bills. As far as time of possession last week against the Bengals, it was 26 minutes to 34 minutes. So same thing, just time of possession. You're losing week after week. You're losing the turnover battle. You're not converting on third downs. I think the Broncos had 18 third down tries or 19. The Buffalo Bills had 8. Like, you just can't win games without controlling the ball. And like we were talking about here, when it comes to McDermott being a CEO versus a manager, essentially is how it will break down. Like, you can't take on so many responsibilities. And that was the thing coming into the season. I said, now he doesn't have another scapegoat in Leslie Frazier. So like, when 13 seconds happened, McDermott, you can't blame Leslie Frazier now because he's gone.
Correct.
And now, guess what? Ken Dorsey's gone. You can't blame Ken Dorsey. And if Joe Brady doesn't work out, you can't blame Joe for the rest of the season because he's an interim coach.
Yeah, it's only the walls are caving in. Like, everything's on him. Like, they got to find a way to make the playoffs. Like, okay, yeah, you blame this man. You let go of Leslie Frazier. You let go of Ken Dorsey. It's on him. Like, it's on him now. And if they don't make the playoffs, then, you know, heads have to roll. And I think it's, like you said, I think it's maybe time to have that conversation to where, you know, a shakeup might be, you know, in the cards potentially.
And see, I never wanted Sean McDermott gone, but you just said it. If we don't make the playoffs, I think this same news break needs to happen in February with Sean McDermott's name being in the headline.
Yeah,
if we don't make January, the playoffs, McDermott, like, has to go.
Yeah, January, really. Like, really after the season. Like, yeah. I mean, it's nothing to take away from Sean, too, because if he was to get fired, he'd have another job in, like 2-3 minutes, like, if he wanted to. But sometimes, like, you may stay in a situation too long. Sometimes change is good, too. Like, so, yeah, I definitely think, you know, if they don't, they got to make the playoffs. They got to find a way to make the playoffs. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, we're talking about the Bengals, the team that beat them, you know, 2 weeks ago. They're out. They're on outside looking in right now. So it's not going to be easy, especially when you got teams like, you know, the Texans that are coming. Although, like I say, I'm not formally a believer. I'm a believer in CJ Stroud, though. Like, the man's going to be – the kid's going to be a baller. Like, they're going to be – they're going to be a tough out. Like, the AFC – we joked about the AFC South, you know, before the beginning of the season. But between him and Trevor Lawrence, like, that's going to be a fun division to watch. And Will Levis, like, they got a lot of good young quarterbacks. And, oh, yeah, the Colts took Anthony Richardson, you know, also in the first round. So they got a lot of good young quarterbacks in that division. And then, yeah, you got Cleveland, like, the AFC North is stacked up. Browns, Steelers, Ravens, Bengals. It's tough, man. It's going to be so tough, like, unlike before. We knew the AFC was going to be stacked. But, man, I think it's even better than what we anticipated going into the year.
In the tournament, it's going to look so different. Like, the turnover from last year, from the teams that were in there, is going to look so different. The Bengals might not make it. The Bills might not make it. The Dolphins, I feel like, are probably, at this point, you know, they're probably going to be the AFC East representatives. And then you figure, like you mentioned, the Texans probably have a shot. You got, the Browns. I understand that nobody likes Deshaun Watson now because of the offense.
Their defense.
But that defense is perfect. And then,
yes.
But what I was going to say about Deshaun, he's actually starting to play better. He's not back on Houston Texans Deshaun Watson level, but he's starting to look like an NFL quarterback again. And when if he really figures it out with that defense, that could be bad for the entire AFC.
He doesn't even need to be that Deshaun Watson either. Like, with that defense, that's the best defense in football. No disrespect to, like, the Jets or anything. They're good too. But, man, that defense, especially with Myles Garrett, that defense is the monstrous. Like, so, yeah, I mean, I think, I think when the AFC, when the playoffs come, no matter who's in, I think 1 through 7, you feel like could get to the Super Bowl potentially. You could make a case for every single team that's going to be in the playoffs somehow, I think, could get to the Super Bowl. You know, maybe not the Steelers to an extent, but even then, they have really good coaching in Mike Tomlin. They're always going to be there. That's what I've always said about the Steelers. Like, and then it goes back to your point too with Shama, like Mike Tomlin, no matter what the situation is, guess what? They're always there. They're always in the midst too as well. They have offensive coordinator issues too, but guess what? They continue to find a way to win games, and they don't make, typically boneheaded decisions or mistakes, like kind of like what you've seen with other teams around the league.
Mm-hmm. And it happens all too soon, man, or all too often, I should say. So, well, let's, because now I really took way more of your time than I initially anticipated.
Hey, it's all good, man. I appreciate you,
I appreciate you being open to jump back in and to redo this. And so ladies and gentlemen, for those listening, again, I apologize if this week's episode sounded like I was all over the place. I really was, because this is a last minute, like, it was really, this is a shock for me. The first episode, I might release it and then still release this one, so that way people can kind of, I don't know. With I just feel bad about this one.
With the contest, but, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll release both episodes and then, you'll all be able to listen to this one and get a full understanding as to the difference of shows. But also, I still think there was some good information in that first one. So why don't you go ahead and plug your show real quick, or your show on Believe, and then your articles and everything, and then we'll get on out of here.
You find me at Antoine Staley on X, Twitter. Find my articles at the New York Daily News covering the NFL, Jets as well. And also, I believe, my show on the Believe Network, Backpage Breakdown, airs on Tuesday and Thursday as well. I guess I'm glad I waited to record the show later on today, because, now we got a lot to talk about in terms of not just the Jets, but also the Bills too as well. So, yeah, you can check that out too. So we'll definitely have some fun with that. It's definitely going to be an interesting week and definitely a critical game for both teams, and definitely an interesting situation for the Jets having to deal with another, interim OC once again. And, like I say, it's a game they have to win, a game the Bills have to win too, which I think they will. I think the Bills are, the better team, and I think it's going to be another slugfest for, the Jets and Bills. But, they play Josh Allen particularly well, their defense does. So I think the game will be very similar to what you saw in Buffalo a year ago. Hopefully nobody's ribs get broken like Mike White did last year, but, I think it's going to be another slugfest as well.
Well, Milano is not there, so I don't think.
Oh, God. Like, that was like, you could hear that hit. Like, it felt like, it was like a gut shot. Like, see, like when he did it, and then we're in the press box, and then you could just hear it, like, oh. And then I was like, I'm surprised he came back into the game. I'm like, and then he went to the hospital. I'm like, why did he come back in the game? Like, you should.
I was made no sense about that. Because, I feel like, because then the next week he wasn't cleared to play. So in my mind, it's like, how was he cleared to come back into the game, but then you're not cleared to play a week later?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. Like, everybody knew, everybody in the building knew he shouldn't have been out there. Like everybody, in clear as day, when he came back in there, he really couldn't throw the ball because he was in pain. He's clearly in pain. And then they said, oh, well, we want to make sure he doesn't have any internal, you know, bleeding or anything like that. But he shouldn't have been in there. Like everybody did. Like, I know you didn't want to play Joe Flacco. Like, I mean, you really didn't have much of a chance at that point, but you can't just run Mike White back out there. Like, just malpractice at that point.
I mean, the 49ers, I'm sure, didn't want to do what they did last year in the playoffs. But sometimes that's part of the game is injuries. Throw Joe Flacco out there, man. I bet the 49ers wish they had a Joe Flacco on their roster last year.
Well, yeah, in that situation, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but all right, ladies and gentlemen, go and follow my man Antoine. We gotta, we're gonna connect some more this season for some more content. Maybe do some spaces or something on Twitter or X, whatever it's called these days. But y'all already know how we do it over here. Y'all love each other, take care of each other, live in peace, and as always, stay positive, test negative, go Bills.
Code of conduct.
Code of conduct.